Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, president of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down
at the Roundtable.
Hello, welcome back. We are going to talk a little bit more about our creative placemaking series. Now, Alice, as you remember, last time we were talking about community engagement.
Yes, we were. A lot of vagueness, a lot of gobbledygook. Let's delve.
Yes, yes. And so I think you had done a Google query.
Yep.
And community engagement brought you 710 million results,
which was a little intimidating, but I checked some of them out. I won't say I checked all of them out, but I did check some of them out, yeah.
Well, I like this one that you found on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Community engagement is a dynamic relational process that facilitates communication, interaction, involvement, and exchange between an organization and a community for a range of social and organizational outcomes.
She read that really well. I like that one too because it is actually, although it sounds like a lot of big words and gobbledygook and all that, it actually does give you a lot of meat on that bone. It does kind of give you goals to look towards. And we're going to hopefully be able to talk about some of that stuff a little more specifically.
Right. And why is it important? I know that you and I have found it's very important for grants.
Yes. When you're applying for grants, especially if you're a nonprofit, having community involvement with your project, which is usually when you're applying for a grant, it's for a project, is really important. It's a big buzzword these days, but it's a buzzword for good reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of why we wanted to dedicate an entire episode to community involvement.
Right. Right. Well, I think, you know, besides the, you know, hey, it's for grants, mm-hmm. that if you aren't thinking about community engagement, who's going to show up to your event? Who's going
right.
to buy whatever it is you create as a community?
Right. Whatever your result, the resulting thing is that your project or your organization is trying to create, make, publish, build, if it's three-dimensional, whatever. I mean, whatever you're trying to accomplish, if your community doesn't know about it and isn't engaged in
mm-hmm.
that project or the process you're going through, you probably won't be very successful in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the long run is very long, but you know, well, hopefully our series is helping people and organizations understand that it's worth it and community involvement matters.
Right. Absolutely.
So great.
And so you had found an interesting article on Forbes, I believe, about different ways to increase community engagement.
Yes. It's a great article. It's from October 17th, 2017. You can find it on their website, Forbes.com. And it's basically 9 ways to increase community engagement. And we're going to kind of adapt their 9 ways
mm-hmm.
and give you examples of our personal experiences and sort of how we see those 9 ways. On their article, what they've done is they have little quotes from different business people and organizational managers and different people in the arts world, in the business world, in the government and everything. They have quotes from them about in each of the 9 ways. So we're kind of adapting that, and instead of those people's quotes, we're going to have our own.
Right.
So
absolutely.
We're going to give you our own experiences.
Right. Great.
So to start us off, we're going to talk about encourage discussion to forge relationships. And I think I said last time, and we really emphasized last time, that, you know, creative placemaking and community engagement is all about relationships,
mm-hmm.
we feel. And so the first thing you want to do is have a lot of discussions with a wide range of potential partners to find opportunities that align your project with what matters to those people. Sometimes that is a lot easier said than done because especially local business owners are busy. A lot of them are, you know, mom and pop, you know, they're not big franchises, they're not big operations. They're, you know, 2 people working all the time with children at home or something. But you will want to canvas your area, you want to know your community pretty well, you want to kind of be aware of what's going on behind the scenes, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
so that you can get a feel for what businesses might find your project suited to their arts-related interests. And you'd be surprised, because a lot of local businesses that have nothing to do with arts are actually interested in supporting arts-related endeavors. We found that by reaching out to some local businesses in Noblesville for our annual publication, the Polkstra Review. In our book, we have ad space available that businesses can buy to have ads in. And for example, we have an insurance company has purchased ad space, a law firm has purchased ad space, these Martin and Martin Insurance, shout out, Church, Hiddle and Antrim Law Offices, shout out, they've been wonderful supporters for our project. Yes, thank you for that, and they give us beautiful ads to put in our publication. So you never know. You might not think that an insurance company or a law office would give a hoot about an arts project, but you will find that a lot of local business people have deep regard for the arts, and they want to support those endeavors. So we also have. A technology business is Sharpest Tool Technology is also one of our ad space buys. Shout out to Sharpest Tool. So yeah, it's really important to reach out to all kinds of businesses, not just other arts organizations.
Right.
So.
So just on that line of encouraging discussion to forge relationships,
mm-hmm.
With Page and Stage, our partner organization.
Which is theater.
It is theater, yes. We had the way the relationship started was a child in the drama camp had parents who ran a local business.
Yes.
And so then we're like, we could then invite them to then sell the refreshments at
right,
a performance.
Because their local business was
right.
like a little local market. What? I mean, it's all local products.
Right, and it's named all local.
It's all, yeah. Hello, all local, yeah. So, and
right.
right on the Noblesville Square, like many of our supporters are.
Right.
And, yeah, and so they did. They came and they provided, they were a catering vendor, what do you call that, a vendor?
Yes, a vendor, yes.
For one of the Page and Stage
right.
theatrical productions with the summer
mm-hmm.
camp.
With the summer camp. And then, you know, that started there, mm-hmm. and then later it turned into helping to support the Polk Street Review.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So mm-hmm. you just never know. So don't hesitate to literally knock on doors.
Mm-hmm.
We've gone around the square and dropped off flyers, information to every single business
mm-hmm.
owner that was open. You know, if they were closed, we tried to shove it through the doors, but, you know. Another thing you can do is participate in local events. Most cities, a lot of cities and towns offer local events like festivals or community events that involve local businesses. So those are a great place to get a booth. Usually the cost is, you know, $100 or less to have a booth for your organization and get to know the community, pass out your literature, tell people about, you know, your projects. It raises awareness and provides a face for your organization, which are lovely faces, you know. You might have signage or whatever to put up. A lot of artists will do this as individual artists. I've done that as an individual artist.
Mm-hmm.
You've done that
yes.
as an individual
mm-hmm.
artist. Also done it as a representative of various nonprofit organizations. One opportunity that I haven't done simply because of the times involved and everything is to have a booth at a local farmer's market. I would strongly encourage organizations in particular to look into those kind of opportunities. Individual artists, I don't know if farmer's markets are great places to have art sales, but they are great places to hand out literature for your organization
mm-hmm.
and to raise awareness for the projects that
right.
you do and
right
that kind
awareness.
Of thing. Yeah,
absolutely. One example from just a local poetry group that we both are in is that Noble Romans contacted us to read our poetry there.
Yes.
And so that, again, was just reaching an audience that normally would never know that there was even a poetry group in town.
Right.
So it didn't cost us anything. We all had a social gathering out of it. You know, it didn't hurt anything.
Had some pizza.
It was fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
It was wonderful. And I think we've both volunteered with different arts organizations in town for some of their events, too, both as individuals and as representatives of community education arts.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads to our next way, our topic of being a partner for your community. One of the keys to engaging the local community is to understand the issues that affect your community and to try to make a difference with those. The community, your community, must view you, your organization, as a partner that will be there in the long term to help grow the community and address concerns that might come to mind. A very, very simple, like, no-brainer thing that you can do if you're on social media is share mm-hmm. other arts organizations and other artists' posts and events on social media. Just click that share. Just click that little share. You know, it goes a long way to let those artists and those organizations know that they have your support, that you're willing to take the 10 seconds, you know, to say, oh, I like that, share it to this page, my page, you know, whatever. Share it on Twitter, share it on Facebook. It doesn't take a lot, but it goes a long way to mm-hmm. establish your support for community.
Mm-hmm.
And that can pay off in getting support back when you have your projects and your events that you want shared and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Be a good neighbor in your online community.
That's right. Be a good neighbor in your online community. And then you had some more to talk about that.
Yes, I get excited about the understanding the issues that affect your community. And for that, I think surveys. You can understand your own community just by living life. So
sure.
You might just anecdotally be talking to friends, you know, at a restaurant and like, okay, this is what I think our community needs, but then it's a very limited pool.
Well, it's also like, you know, when you write something, you know exactly what you mean.
Right.
But that doesn't mean that the person reading it really understands what you mean.
Right.
You might need an editor. The survey is like your editor, you know.
Exactly. And it also looks way more impressive to somebody who might be giving you money if you have someone outside your own little pool that you've been talking
sure.
to understand
yeah,
the
it
needs.
It makes it a little more objective.
Right, absolutely. So, for example, you could hold a focus group. That's great for the people in your community who just like to talk it out and
mm-hmm.
just kind of feed off of each other. You might do your own surveys online. You might do
yes.
them in person. Online is super easy.
I've used SurveyMonkey before
yes.
for that.
SurveyMonkey is great.
Yeah, SurveyMonkey is a good one.
Right.
A lot of ways to personalize those surveys.
Right, and SurveyMonkey has both free and paid versions.
Yes. Yes.
And so if you have no budget, it is good for you.
Yep.
If you do have a budget, it really gets you into the analytics yep. of those surveys, which is helpful.
And I have done both with SurveyMonkey, and both the free and when I paid for it, both were worth it. I mean, they both worked out for the needs I had for those different surveys.
Right.
So,
but I mean, if you want a one question poll every now and then,
mm-hmm.
and you have a Facebook following that's,
mm-hmm.
you know, moderate to large, and you can just pop it up on your Facebook
yep.
page and
we've
just
done
that. The poll
that
way.
We've done that, yes.
Right, absolutely.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The main thing with surveys is make it easy for people to say yes to taking it.
That's
you know,
true. It's
we
all,
don't.
Yeah, it's all in how you write it.
Right, right. And so it needs to be simple. It needs to be streamlined. If it were a written page, would it be just one page or shorter.
Mm-hmm.
Take away any barriers, as many barriers as you can. So, for example, if you were mailing a survey, you would want to include postage, an envelope,
right.
so they don't have to take the time to find that and send it back. A way that we took advantage of people's time so we weren't wasting their time is when Paige and Sage had a theater performance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, people were already there waiting in their seats for half an hour before curtain, and so here is a survey, here is a pencil. While you're waiting, this is a good way to entertain yourself, and we were collecting data for what they needed in their learning community.
We should do that with the poster if you book launch.
Oh,
we should just insert that right into the program.
Winner.
Just had that idea right there. Okay, keep talking. Music to my ears.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If you do the online surveys, you know, you can include an easy link if you
mm-hmm.
do some kind of newsletter, for example. And if you want to offer a small incentive for them for filling out your survey, that's nice. Don't make it a huge incentive because you don't want them to sugarcoat things and sound too nice so they get the big prize.
Right.
But if it's like a token, like, you know, here's a small discount mm-hmm. to thank you for doing our survey, mm-hmm. or something that I did when I had a third grade to fifth grade workshop, I did ask third to fifth graders to fill out a really short survey with smiley faces if they liked it or didn't like it.
That's awesome.
Right. And so in exchange for that, here, have a little bookmark with Rapunzel on it.
Very cool. Yeah,
so
very cool.
If you don't have time to conduct the sort of in-depth surveys that you need to do, take advantage of people who've done the data collection for you. For example, we live in Indiana, mm-hmm. and I work with youth for something that I do outside of here.
Right.
And so I go all the time to IYI, that's Indiana Youth Institute, and they compile in-depth surveys that tell you about, county by county, what is the state of youth economically, demographically, what are their greatest needs and concerns, and that is great to then bring back to
yes.
grants.
Yeah, that's very important because youth is considered an underserved population in terms of grant writing applications. That's one of the categories where if your project involves youth or engages youth, that puts your grant application in a slightly better place mm-hmm. in the stack, you know, for example. And so that's a really important thing to think about, to look at all the I wish there was a way to get that kind of information on everything in your community, but you're going to have to do a little bit of that yourself. And one of the ways you can do that is to kind of, once you get a sense of your community, kind of, for lack of a better phrase, target the leaders on the ground, mm-hmm. so to speak. You're really cultivating relationships. You want to cultivate relationships within the community, with the community leaders and the influencers, the hardworking people who kind of have their boots on the ground and who are making things happen. These could be arts organization leaders, these could be local government leaders, these could be local business leaders. A lot of towns have a Main Street organization if they're a member of the National Main Street organization. I'm not sure exactly if I'm getting the full name of that organization correct, mm-hmm. but you might have something like that in your town, and you can reach out to the Main Street organization and see what kind of a relationship you can establish with them. I personally, as a personal individual artist, am on the Noblesville Cultural Arts Council, and I serve on a couple subcommittees of that council. And I also kind of wear a hat as representing community education arts on the council. Mm-hmm. And that's a really important council because Noblesville has a cultural arts district designation from the Indiana Arts Commission from the state of Indiana. So Noblesville being designated a cultural arts district has an arts council, and there are people on the council that I would never have met in my regular day-to-day life because I wouldn't have crossed paths with them, or just, you know, but I've met them on the arts council, and so I can contact them if I need to about support for our projects, or to, you know, pick their brain about, you know, what would work with our project and what they're involved in, or mm-hmm. try to forge those relationships. So I think that's really important.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I really admire about you, Alice, is that you do know a lot of those people as people. So like if we're going out into the community, maybe asking for donations for Polk Street Review, we walk into a building and at least half the time Alice is like, hey, I know this person.
Yeah.
How you doing, so-and-so? How's your dog?
Yeah.
And so I'm not saying you have to be like a super schmoozer, and certainly don't be insincere, but yeah, actually
yeah.
knowing a face
yeah.
and a name and something that interests
yeah,
them.
Yeah, getting involved in community arts just, this for me, started as an artist. I didn't start with an organization, so to speak, and I just met people along the way, and I'm a talker. I don't know if you've noticed that. But, you know, I'm pretty gregarious, so I don't mind striking up a conversation, but mm-hmm. but yeah, I mean, it's important, you know, it's all about relationships, it really is. And then did you have anything else you want to say on that? Or
oh, just that I've done both the yeah. cold ask and
yeah.
the ask where you're meeting the donor, you know, face-to-face and having a more in-depth conversation. neither is wrong, but I have found that it feels nicer to me as a human being, and it tends to be more successful if there's a little bit of time figuring out what does that other person want, what are they passionate about, what makes them tick as a human being first.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's important to have that personal relationship. You can't always have that, though.
Mm-hmm.
Don't not do the cold ones just because they're less comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You gotta do those, too.
This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org.
This activity made possible in part with support from the Indiana Arts Commission and the National Endowment for the Arts, a federal agency.
We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.